Our message for today, responses to trials. How do we respond to a calamity that suddenly come our way that we cannot explain, and the calamity is coming, hitting us so hard that we do not have time to respond, we do not have time to react. What do we do? Well, you would notice that in this first book of the Bible, Job was described as a man whom God has issued a challenge to the evil one. And Satan says, if you do all these things to him, he will forsake you. How much would you, are you, will you bear before you would throw in the towel? How much would you bear before you would throw in the towel? For Job, he was to bear the most severe of trial any human can imagine to be inflicted with. The loss of wealth, for many, it is something that would cause great distress. Last week, we mentioned about the German billionaire in 2008 who threw himself in front of a running train because he could not bear to face his family because he has lost everything that he had. And if it's not such a great value to you, Job also lost the fleet of all his transport means. All his camels were taken away from him. These were the means by which he's able to commune and commute from one place to another. With all this down, he would be stranded. As it were, we understand what it means if you, instead of being able to drive your car, take your bus, take your MRT, when all this system breaks down and you have to make your way to another place 15 kilometers away. If you have all the means of transport, yes, it's okay. But if you have not, then well, you're going to face a great physical challenge in front of you. And not only that, I believe one of the greatest calamity that can come. He lost his own children. 10 of them suddenly gone. A big wind came and blew. The roof fell over them. They were all gathered at the same place. And they all died. And he had to receive this news one after the other. As if this is not enough. Later on we would see he's also going to lose his health. Suddenly, boils come all over his body. And it's as if his body is rotting away. His flesh is rotting away. And he found himself in such a state of misery that he could not comprehend and respond any normal person when we are confronted with such great calamity and challenges. It would surely have defeated us. But for Job, the Lord recorded this for us to help us to learn how we can give a godly response to a severe trial. Now, did he sin against God? Was it because he did something wrong in the sight of God that caused him to be in this state of misery? Well, it was not. Because we know that he was someone who sought the Lord daily. Even though he was a very wealthy man, he had all the resources that he has, but he did not set his affection upon all these things. But during each day, he would still rise up early in the morning and took time to be with God, confessing his sins before God and confessing the sins of his children. In a sense, he offered sacrifices for each one of his children. So he was a man who sought to walk with God. He was a man who sought to follow God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I believe that when God has invoked the new man in us, he also gives to us the power of the Spirit that is within us to enable us to follow him and to have that potential to follow him fully, wholly, and without reservation. We have in us that ability to walk with God and experience the fullness of his blessing. And the life of Job would give to us an example of how we can respond to calamity. So in verse 20, you would see the first response of the man. Verse 20, our text, you would see that there are various verbs that are used, and five of them altogether, and it described how he reacted to the calamity that has befallen him. First, you see Job arose. Job arose. In a sense that his response to this was that he did not collapse, but he arose. And here it says that he rent his mantle, meaning that what he did was that he was greatly effacing himself. He realized that he did not want to hold on to putting on all his fine garments and all these things. And you realize that when this calamity would strike us, all the fine garments that you have doesn't look that appealing anymore to you. What use do I have? I would rather during a time of mourning, you don't want to put on nice clothes, right? During a time of mourning, you would see that the family members would put on, usually here locally, white or black color, a solemn garment, some they would put on rough garment. Why? Because it is not a happy time. It is a sad time. And so you see his response that he has. It is a normal response to a calamity. Right. But you see that he did not break down. He was able to pull himself together in the face of all these things. And then he was able to shave, and he shaved his head. Why did he shave his head? Well, it was also a sign of mourning. It was a sign of self-effacing. He just felt, you know, that he would put away every outward adorning upon himself. He doesn't want, you know, any fanciful outward demeanor. So he shaved himself, and so that he would feel that really he's in a state of mourning. And then what happened? He fell down upon the ground. He fell down upon the ground. So you see, he was preparing himself to mourn. And then after, that's the fourth action. You see one after another, human response. A human response to a calamity. And instead of crying, you know, bitterly, profusely, without uncontrollably, his response was that he worshiped God. What an example. So you see that he realized that he cannot explain what had gone on or what has taken place. Right? A mysterious happening has come, calamity, series of calamity has come upon him. But he was able to worship God in that critical time in order to seek the comfort, the strength, the solace, the consolation that God through his Spirit can offer us. So when Jesus would leave his disciples, he told his disciples, "I would send you the Comforter." He would be the one who would come alongside you in order to be with you, to walk with you through your lonely journey. So why did he worship? Because he understood that in worship, God will find, give to him peace in his heart. You see, when we are worshiping God, what do? When we are worshiping God, well, we are in communion with him, and we are coming to him, right, bringing all our worries to him. And then what do we receive in return? Well, we receive all the wisdom that God would impart to us when we would worship him, right, in spirit and in truth. And so you see here his response is one of worship. Why is it so? He did not, you know, fret and become bitter and become unconsolable. You know, you see, there are those who are in grief. You know, they refuse to be consoled. They refuse to be. They just lose a hold of themselves. But here you see there is a measured response in this man when he faces calamity. And the Lord also wants us to be able to inculcate that kind of a spiritual calmness and demeanor within us that we may be able to handle life's challenges. And you know, from day to day, as you go to work, you'll find that every day comes with it a new challenge. Each day, each happening can discomfort our heart. But you would realize that a man who would be close to God, who would be able by his worship of God be given a very calm and peaceful frame. You see, that's why when the apostles speak about the believers going through trials, he says to us, rejoice. Rejoice with unspeakable joys. Joy. All right, Paul says, rejoice forevermore. Why did he say that? Well, because and the request to us is that we are to do so continually during the time of our trial. To know that God is in control. That although it seemed the roof has fallen over us, but that's not the end. God is still on the throne. And the Lord wants us to have that kind of a faith to trust in him. The Bible says that perfect love casteth out all fear. When you understand God's love for you, that his power to hold you, that you cannot be plucked out of the Father's hand, that your life is secured by the power of God, then you would have the kind of calmness in the face of the severest trials that can come. And of course, we said that we don't know what it will be when it is our turn. But I believe that when we take time to study his word and to imbibe his word in our hearts, we would be able to adopt a right approach, a godly response. And here Job shows to us what is a godly response. What did he do? He worshipped God. He did not skip his Sunday worship. He did not skip prayer meeting because of the calamity. He was able to bring himself to worship, to pray, and continue to appropriate the means of grace. And that's very important, because this God use by which the Spirit would be able to minister comfort to our hearts, to our lives. So it's mysterious. There is an unexplained factor to the presence of God when you worship him in spirit and in truth. So what did he say when he fell on the ground and worship God? He says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. He gave a very insightful response of a man who has seen and understood life. He says, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. He says that really, when I would leave this present mortal body, there is nothing that I can take away with me. There is nothing that I can bring with me. And therefore, he says, I know even though you have taken all these things from me. Well, these are external to me. You give and you have taken away. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was able to submit himself to the will of God. You see, to be able to submit ourselves to the will of God is a spiritual, is a sign of a spiritually mature person. And we realize that God knows better than us. Joseph, when he saw his brothers in Egypt, they all came to look for grain. At that time, big famine. No one has food, but he has plenty with him. He tested his brothers. He tested especially their repentance. Whether they have truly learned their lesson when they sold him to Egypt. The response came when Judah said to Joseph, I am willing to trade my place with Benjamin, the youngest of my father's son. Let him go, and I will be his replacement. So he was willing to sacrifice himself for this youngest boy. Why? Because Rachel only had two child, right? Joseph, whom father thought already died, and Benjamin. So when Judah was able to respond in this way, wow, Joseph could not control his tears anymore. Why? Because he saw that there was a change in the brothers. God had worked in that whole event to help them to see what they have done was actually very wicked. And there was a change in their behavior. There was a change in the response. And that cost him to give that response, you know, of submission to the will of God. He says that, he says to his brothers after he told them that, you know, he's Joseph. And he said that the Lord had sent me earlier in order that there would be meat, there would be bread during that time, this time of famine, to save the entire family. And so if we understand that our life is in the hands of God and that God is working out his plan for our lives, then whatever situation that comes, that God permits us to go through, his grace will also enable us to safely overcome. And this was a response, a godly response that Job gave. Verse 22 says, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. there was no bitterness. There was no complaint, as it were. There was no anger. There was no withdrawal. But he was able to cast himself upon the Lord for his care during the time of his calamity. And so for each one of us, this must also be our response. When we are faced with whatever calamity, whatever distressing situation that comes in our life, we must know that, well, God is still in control. The Lord is still on the throne. And this is not the end. He's working out something that I do not know what it is. I cannot explain it. Although it has hit me so impactfully, so greatly, I'm suffering for it. But I know that the love of God for me is not diminished in any way. His care for my welfare is not diminished in any way. That's faith. And the Lord wants us to exercise and demonstrate such deep water faith in our lives. And I believe that's why the Lord allows us to study the life of Job. Well, that's not the end of his challenge, because Satan is going to go to God again, and there will be more things coming. And yet, you see, in the as a child of God, you'll find that you are under the good care of God, and nothing is going to be able to derail you from the protective shield of God upon you. That's why Abraham called God, he says, he is my shield and he is God Almighty, because he has to face great challenges, and yet it's never the end each time. So may the Lord encourage our hearts to give us the strength to be able to know, right, that God is with us, and that he is step by step leading, guiding us, and we need to keep that close communion with him. In his worship, Job established that communion, that fellowship with God. And this we must not forget. This morning we were studying the table of showbread. It was an offering that the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, bring to God every week. It is a description of their communion with God, that they want to acknowledge that all they have comes from him. So each tribe would bring that loaf, the same loaf that they would eat. They make one loaf and offered it to the Lord, right, to help them to understand and see, right, that God is the one that provided for all those things. And if we have understood this, then we would, in our trials, continue to seek the Lord, continue to pray, continue to hold our position with him in faith. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for your mercy. Strengthen us by your presence. Guide us by your truth. This I pray with thanksgiving In Jesus' name. Amen.